Alex, just so you know, I recorded a little bit ago. We like just kind of talked and shoot the shit, and then because we kind of like it's like we're getting ourselves like loosey-loosey,
Warm it up.
and then
Should I
when
shimmy
we
my shoulders as well, guys?
do a little shimmy,
Okay.
and then when we do the welcome, that's our code word. Welcome to Know Your Rights, a music podcast from two guys who know just enough about songwriting to start a podcast about.
Follow Rob
and Colton
as each week we dive into a different band or songwriter and discuss what makes them great,
okay, or otherwise.
Music is law,
and we know our rights.
I don't know if this is going on the podcast, but I
mean, welcome.
Welcome.
Welcome. Alex, you did it. You did the welcome.
Starting it off right.
Welcome to know.your.rights. How do you spell rights, Rob?
W-R-I-T-E-S. Shit, man. Every time we struggle with it. And
double
of course,
check to remember.
Dot podcast at gmail.com. Rob, at this point, how many emails have we received from fans?
I'll have to check that later.
Okay.
I just assumed none.
Hasn't been checked yet.
They're pouring in. Well, this is a special episode. We have a special guest.
We did it, everybody. We got him. The one, the only.
I should have been quiet up until now, so it could have been a surprise.
Well, your name's going to be... We did this with our first couple of episodes, too, where we weren't saying the name of the band we were going to cover.
That's right.
And then we realized... It's the name of the episode.
Yeah, that's all right. You guys danced around it for the first like two episodes where it was like talking about it without talking about it. I like that.
I'm still not sure what we're going to title this episode. Do we call it Birthday Dad? Do we call it... Honestly, Alex, I'm sorry. How do you say your last name?
It's Pereira.
Pereira.
Unfortunately, that's my last name.
How long have you known him and you didn't know? It's beautiful.
I've gotten it wrong my entire friendship with him.
I've heard a lot of different things for it, and they're all fine.
I say Pereira.
That's the best one I've heard. I heard it was the band Republic of Wolves. I won a contest. They're from like Long Island, and they said Alex Pereira, and I was like, oh, "That's great."
Yeah. Maybe if I can roll my R on it, like Pereira.
Yeah.
There we go.
That sound a lot cooler.
Can you say it one more time for me?
You know, I think you might have to do some editing magic there too.
There you go.
That was a good one.
Back. Yeah.
Okay, just so cut and paste.
I haven't actually introduced our guest yet, so I feel like I have to. I only get one job, and I want to do it. Okay. Alex from Birthday Dad has joined us.
Yes. How do you say his last name?
called you out. See, you were all high and mighty a second ago.
It's like a Belgian's Roman all again, or whatever the word is.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, Alex is aware of these. I just
listened to that episode actually, so I know what you're talking about.
Good.
We were coming back from a show in Chico, and I played some in the car for Dave, who you'll be happy to know he was very excited that you guys talked about baseball for like 20 minutes at the start of a few of them. It's all gibberish to me, but he loved it.
I've ran into a lot of complaints on the fact that we talk about sports. I think the dude who made our who actually made our logo. Just like, what are you doing, man? You're talking about music, and then all of a sudden, just right away, sports talk forever.
There's a Venn diagram there that I think works out.
I think so, too, and I would love for you to draw that out for me.
I also think it was actually basketball you were mostly talking about, and that's how I know that I said baseball, and you guys look very confused.
The sad part is it's only Rob and I that are in the middle of that Venn diagram. Like, we're the only two. And Dave. By the way,
yeah, Dave's in there too. Yeah, he's in there too.
Love Dave and Manuel, both those guys. Yes. I was just looking at pictures of you guys at your last live show.
Yeah, they took some nice pictures of us there.
Very nice.
You guys are killing it, by the way.
Thank you. We're doing okay.
Can we get some? Can I do a little sappy thing here at the top? Because if you haven't heard our previous episode, we did, but we were talking a little more about you, and it was easier to say things when you weren't here.
I missed that one. Yeah, I'm going to have to go back.
It's not up yet.
Didn't it just go up?
I say this every episode. We're four episodes in advance. This is episode 10.
We just posted
episode 6.
You have to remember everything that we say, Alex, is going to be dated within, like, now, basically.
Yeah, so what shows do you got coming up?
Yeah. They just happened, probably, right?
And they were great.
I guarantee it was a really good show.
But I want to say this because I have known you when? How long have we known each other, Alex?
Oh, God. It was like 2011 or 10. So 13 years.
I want to say it was 2K10 because, and that's a basketball reference for everybody at home.
I do know that one.
But Colton, if I'm not mistaken, we met Alex on tour. We met on you tour. In.
Yes.
Tippy the Vegan?
In Modesto.
Modesto. That's right. And you were, and I think you hit me up. I can't remember. It's like either you.
It was Dustin who hit you up, and he's like, "Hey, look at this band. They're so great." You know, I asked him to play a show, and then he didn't even look where you guys were from. And I was like, "Well, they're from fucking Southern California. They're not. No, they're playing in Modesto. Okay, that's great." But I thought that was, you know, that's too far. There's never going to be a show that happens there.
It was a magical moment because in my mind, I remember just walking into a backyard and hearing just incredible harmonies coming from it, very Milk Carton Kids esque. That's a throwback to our last episode. There you go. But it was, yeah, just listening to you guys singing. I was like, Colton, we're in trouble because I have to harmonize with you and I'm not good at this. These guys sound really good.
That was always something we would do right before a show. And I was like, hey, just harmonize with me. And he'd be like, oh, okay. It was just the instruction.
That's a good thing to do. Yeah. Prepare yourself.
Honestly, Alex, I think you kind of inspired Colton and I to become better at harmonies.
Just a period.
Yeah.
Like, that's the...
You know, there's some good videos from that show on YouTube, actually. Evidence.
I know there's one of us singing The Only One.
Yep. Yeah, there's that one. There's a couple of you guys playing Good Luck With Your War songs, and then there's a couple of us playing some stuff, too.
I may or may not look that up later.
Yeah, you should. They're really good. Yeah.
Really good.
I thought so because I remember being like, this is the fucking band.
This was, and that show was so fun. And that's the thing where when we first met you, I think all of us, and like I'm talking about Rob and I here specifically, we're like, how old is this guy? And he is so freaking good.
I kind of held a grudge against you for a while just based off of the fact. And I was like, he's how old? He wrote Margaret and he's how old?
It's funny because looking back now, I'm like, I think I barely got like okay now. But I mean, I guess back then, it's just kind of trying to get your taste aligned with your talent.
Yeah.
And so now I look back and I'm like, well, yeah, I like that stuff. But
yeah, it's staying in your own lane, like making sure that you're performing to your strengths. Yeah. You never struggled with that. I'll just say that now.
And I think that's the thing is like we've been able to watch
from a perspective, not necessarily maybe internally you could have whatever, but I'm saying from being able to watch it. I never saw it.
Just watching you from project to project and like also knowing it's so cool to see how you've like generated different influences and how it's kind of mapped onto what you're doing. Like I can think of when your guys are in Every Atlas, there's like so much of. I mean, lots of folky stuff right away. Great Captain, which I know was one of your first record, right? That was
that was pretty much just a ripoff of Right Away, Great Captain for that first record. Looking back, which is fine. I'm totally fine with that. Like, that's great. I mean, I was like, what, 15?
Yeah.
So that's what you do. You just find something.
Were you that young? I thought you were older than that. See, you're making me hate you all over again. No, okay.
I was, by the time we were, I was probably 16, 17 at that point. But okay, the first... Recording that first Every Atlas acoustic album, like 15, 16.
Okay. And like Every Atlas where it's brand new in Manchester Orchestra, right, amongst other things. Yeah. And then like Thomas Jefferson Airplane, which to me, I always think of, oh my God, this is what happens, the front bottoms, right? But I was just listening to Thomas Jefferson
Airplane. That's actually what I hear on The Hermit. I hear like the front bottoms and Burt Bacharach just somehow like spliced together. That's kind of what I hear.
Nail Biter, by the way, is such a good fucking song.
I still like that song. Yeah. Yeah. There was a couple of those in that project that I was into. It was kind of, you know, just a quick thing, but some good songs came out of it. And it was definitely, very like intentionally kind of front bottoms fused with like the fuzz folk of like Nutrimilk Hotel a little bit. Like,
And it was
lo-fi.
Like, I love that part of like just watching you do different kinds of songwriting because you felt looser. I don't know if that's true or not, but it felt that way.
Yeah, I mean, kind of was the whole reason of starting the different projects, because I feel like it got a little more loose and it was like, well, this kind of feels like not the same thing, which, I mean, you can just change your sound. It's not a big deal, but it's like, well, start a different thing. You know,
there is something to be said for I'm titling this differently. There's just some about something new.
Yeah.
It's kind of, it's like a catapult into like, okay, all of a sudden I'm in a creative mind space that I wasn't in when I was in the previous band or whatever you want to title it.
I've gotten stressed about it every time, but it's kind of been great. Like, it's just gotten a little better each time. So I'm, you know, mm-hmm. I might burn this down and start something new then. It might get even go even further. That might be the key. You have to sacrifice a part of yourself there.
Well, yeah. I think the fear is always like, this is sad to even say, but I've had that thought in my head. I was like, well, I should just do something different with a different name. But I was like, but what about my fans? And then I had to stop myself and go, sure. They're fine.
three of them.
With you,
I think your fans would be happy that you're making anything.
That's right. Well,
that's very true.
They'd be like, damn, thank God Colton has a new band. Yeah. I can't wait to hear an album.
Yeah, don't go pulling a Tool on me, Colton. You better make this a very good album. It's been a long time. Just
if you're hearing me sing in the shower, I sing all my songs I've written in the last like 2 years in the shower. So that's, if you put a recorder up, there you go.
Well, I'm jealous of Casey. She gets to hear new Colton material.
The only one, yeah. Right.
Oh, man.
Speaking of, Alex, engaged.
Yeah, that's right.
Yes, we were talking about that a little bit earlier. Yeah,
that's awesome, man.
Yeah, it's cool. Why? Yeah, well, why not?
What made you decide to throw your life away?
I think I've been doing it so long. It's like
natural.
Hey. Yeah, just might as well go all in. With it.
We are a pro engagement podcast. Excellent.
Yeah.
Yes. No, I'm happy for you. I'm just jealous. That's all it is, man. You guys. But it's very fitting. It kind of makes sense that we chose that you suggested the Blink-182 album, because I think that it's very hopeless romantic.
It's so romantic. Yeah. It's beautiful.
Before we dive into that, though, I did tell Colton I'm doing this. I'm doing this, Colton. It's happening now.
Okay.
Now that I get to speak to an artist to his face, I'm going to tell you what my favorite song is, my least favorite song is, my underrated and my overrated
Hermit. We should have done it for all of us. I don't know. We didn't. Yeah.
No, I didn't want to do that. I just want to. Okay. I don't want to be judged.
All right. Just me. I can take it. I can take it.
All right. Overrated is Death 2.
Yeah.
Really good song.
I would agree with that take.
And it's only because it distracts from my my favorite song, which I won't get there. But my underrated is Spleen. And it's because Spleen seems to really embody the title, The Hermit. You know, I love the idea to where it is that, like, you just take me out. It's not a big issue. You know, like, if you just eliminate me from your life, it's cool. That's why I'm going to be a hermit. So I
never thought of it that way. I thought of The Hermit as being the song that encapsulates The Hermit, but Spleen,
least favorite song. That's my least favorite song.
Okay, great. That's great. Fuck yeah. Sorry.
How can you say that?
It's just not the best song on the album. It's my least favorite song on the album. Whatever.
It's very different. The saxophone takes it to a different place.
It does. It does. And me being a very, very holy man, I just get very offended. But no, I like the idea. Actually, within that song, I like the fact that it seems like God's the hermit. That's my take from it. Yeah. It's like, Noah, get in the ark and follow me. But at the beginning, he's already saying, you know, I'm
which the, I just use that imagery. I don't want people to and get also, the, you ripped the wrong off, idea there.
You also ripped off Cassia. Yeah.
Yes, I did rip off Cassia. I stole their intellectual property.
Come on,
property.
The intro of the song. I mean,
I did a lot of intellectual property theft.
I got served earlier today. I have a feeling you're next.
It's good.
For the record, Rob and I have also paid, like, what was it, Waking Life? We did a track with my friend Sam where we did like 30 minutes of Waking Life at the end of a song. And I don't think we even thought about that being an issue. And I'm like, that was.
I think more people listen to Birthday Dad than my friend Sam, so we were in good shape.
You never know.
But last one, best song, TV Dinner. TV Dinner is just incredible.
That is a very good song.
I still remember seeing your live performance, or I don't know if it was live, but it was the acoustic performance. It was
That was live.
Yeah, that was a couple of years ago too.
To its own detriment. Yeah, that was the first. I was still writing the album then, and just went. It was like 2019. No, it was 2020.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, 2 years before it came out.
But right, I was blown away immediately. The lyrics, I was actually having this discussion with somebody who was here at my house earlier, where they were listening and they're like, this is really good. And I was like, right? Like that, the chorus, like you, it's not necessarily like the most poetically dominant, but it's just so damn relatable. It hits, it cuts to the core. And so that's all I have to say. There you go. I broke down.
Yeah, I don't
I give it a 5 out of 5.
Hell yeah.
You're just inviting Alex to talk takes. Up his song. You're like, tell us how good this song is.
Yeah, yeah, it's yeah.
Really good song, man.
I would say that. No, go ahead, Colton. Sorry.
Well, just that, like, that song is to me also why I love The Hermit so much. Is it's like all the stuff that I've liked about your songwriting from before, which is how like lyrical it is and all of the imagery. But it's something I noticed you started in Thomas Jefferson Airplane, where that like
terrible band name, by the way,
you're able
horrible
to...
band name.
I liked it.
I just think of Google. Jefferson Not Airplane. The... I just think of Jefferson Airplane, and I go like, no, bad. I like Thomas Jefferson. Don't.
Well,
like.
There's a lot. I don't know if you're in the know, Rob, but there's a lot of bands doing that nowadays. Michael Sarah Palin. Be one of them.
I'm not in the know then. You called me out. Good work.
I think there's like a Rob Ford Escape. That's a good
okay.
And an alternate for Thomas Jefferson Airplane is going to be Abraham Lincoln Park, but
how are you going to spell Lincoln?
that was the question that kept me from
proceeding. Dedicating.
Yeah, I like it.
Yeah.
No, but that whole record, man, is so freaking good.
It's a very good album. But I just, I had to, really the big challenge was trying to, when I was listening, I'm like, I have to, what's the worst song? And I just, right when I heard the Casio thing, I was like, all right, I'm going to choose this one. Screw it.
Yeah, there you go.
That's Colton was afraid that we weren't going to be friends after I said that.
No, I agree, I think, with everything you said.
There you go, man.
I think I know the overrated for me. And it rhymes with wines. It's lines.
Oh, for your. Yeah.
Oh, for you. Yeah. No, that's worst. That's worse. That's not overrated.
It probably is worse. It was supposed to be. That was supposed to be a Weezer song. Like when it started, like I had a whole like riff set up. It was going to be like a. It's just like all heavy distortion. It's like we are parallel lines.
Oh, yeah. I can hear
then, it. And then it turned into Michelle Branch. I don't know what happened.
I blame your lead guitar player, man.
Oh, Lord. All right. Well, here's the thing.
Enough of Alex, this self-indulgence.
Brian, you and we've been texting each other, and you've been listening to, you've been a faithful listener.
Yes.
We've had, by the way, Rob, we have someone from Algeria who's been joining us for these past couple of episodes. Person, really? Thank you so much for listening from Algeria.
That's great.
Keep it up.
We lost our Russian listener. They've stopped. We wanted to give you a chance, Alex, because you told me you had some takes that you wanted to share, and I'm not sure if you have them ready. If you have,
well, any. I have at least one. I've been thinking about the brunch thing a lot.
I think that's our
that's the main
topic.
Take.
Yeah,
yeah. And I mean, I was a little rigid on it before, as it's more like a state of. And not a time based state of mind. I don't think you can go too far with it. But you said 2 p.m. brunch, and I can see that.
Yeah. Go ahead.
What are you doing in the morning? It's when you wake up. It's a Saturday or a Sunday. So what? Today is Sunday. I woke up. We had brunch. What is it? Like 1 o'clock? I think we had brunch.
Okay.
Waffles with ham. And
yeah,
that's lunch. I call it lunch. I'm sorry.
It's weird because when I think of brunch, I can't separate. It doesn't feel like breakfast for lunch. It feels like brunch, like a specific thing. But if I think of Brenner, that's breakfast for dinner.
Well, which don't get me totally started different. On Brenner. Don't get me started on Brenner. This is just too much.
What's your problem with Brenner?
I've done that. I've done that a million times. I've had meals late at night that are my first meal of the day. And I just don't know if it actually fits into the concept of Brenner. Is it dinner?
It would have to see. This is where we're drawing the lines here. Would it have to be the first meal of the day, or is it just breakfast for dinner?
I'm going to say one thing.
Come on, man.
If you're only eating one meal a day, that's just eating. That's you can't.
Like... That's very true. That's very true. That's a
you don't get to call that anything.
It's a vacuum.
That's,
yeah,
I'm that's just, sustenance. That's that's like when I was in grad school. I had to time out my $5 footlongs. I was like, okay, I'm eating 2 $5 footlongs. I got to do them like 11 o'clock and 5 o'clock to get me through the tape
run. So you had 2 brunches. All right, I got you.
Yeah, makes sense.
Oh my god. Well,
that's about as far as I'm willing to elaborate on brunch. What I learned from that episode is brunch just means something different to everybody.
I also realize I'm not like the authority on like what time to eat things because most people probably have breakfast at like 8 a.m., right?
Yeah, that makes sense. I usually have it about like 9 during the work week. And then on the weekend, I'm just eating, like Colton said. But I think that might be maybe that's just where we all have to stay, just to not be judgmental. It's just eating. Just make sure everybody, you know,
get your
protein.
Enjoy your journey, whatever it is out there in the world, eating your, I don't know what it is.
However, you have to ration your $5 footlongs.
Exactly.
Between you and Subway.
Yeah. We are pro eating podcast. We've always been. I think that's been well established.
Unless you're fasting, and then you know what? Praise Allah. I don't know. That may get cut out.
That's very inclusive, Rob. I think you should leave it.
All right, good. Nice. Thanks, man. Yeah, I mean,
oh my god,
it was just Ramadan, right? Is that the same?
I think it was Ramadan. What I noticed,
by the time this podcast came out, it definitely
was last year. But we were
going to come up with the date of when this will come out to let you know, Alex. And I think we've both kind of lost the plot of it.
Colton said he had it handled, and then
I also told you to remind me, which is the other part of that equation. That's true.
Well,
I think
Rob has to edit this mess, right? So it could, you know.
I do. I'll just cut it in. I'll just punch in. Like, hey, Alex, this is coming out. I would imagine this will be out like sometime in July, August, September, October, November, December.
And those are months.
Somewhere in there.
Those are, yeah. you've hit all the good ones. The good months.
The upcoming ones. Yes.
What I've noticed is, Alex, I have a question for you. When we've known each other, do you find me to be cantankerous? Like if I come across as grumpy?
I don't think so. Possibly in a little like a bit way. Sometimes you can. I'm a lot more grumpy myself, but Rob's also spend a lot more time with you.
I don't really find you to be grumpy at all.
That's, well, yeah, but maybe not.
I don't hang out with Colton that much because he's just so argumentative. It's really difficult to be around that guy. He's too cantankerous.
Yeah.
I find in this podcast, without meaning to, I've taken on the role of like the like constant arm crosser where I'm like, is it really that good, though? I don't know.
And it's about to happen again, by the way.
I have to stop myself from doing that a lot of the times with music in general. Keep some opinions to myself. But
it's strange. That's why I had to break down your album. I had to just go like I can't with as much as during this podcast we have just critiqued everything and like artists that I have in general nothing but respect for, but because of the nature of the podcast we have to, you know, talk about the negative,
the whole
side.
Point. Yeah. And you know what, Manchester Orchestra needed to be knocked down a few pegs. I think
a few pegs, yeah.
Just a few.
I still disagree with Colton that all of the acoustic songs are overrated.
Alex.
What is overrated about it is people saying, well, I love Hope is an album. That's not, it's Cope.
Yeah.
It's the same album. I admire
what they were going for.
It was artistic cowardice is my new.
And Colton made it sound worse.
I was happy that you brought up Cope again. And I went,
just so cantankerous. My God. So, oh Alex, where did you get the name Birthday Dad?
I stole that from BoJack Horseman.
Oh, okay. I've never seen a single episode.
Oh, you got to watch that show. You would like it.
Is it?
Yeah.
Season 2 is, I think I've said this before, it's the closest to like the word masterpiece when I think of that. Season 2 is so beautiful. It's so
good. Holy, I would have never expected that word to describe, because it's a comedy show, right?
Not really. I mean, I think.
Okay, it's like you said earlier, I'm way outside of the. I'm off the pulse.
It's very funny, but I don't know if I would say it's a comedy. And you think, I think the first couple episodes, you might be like, I don't care. Cause that's kind of how I felt, okay. But you got to watch at least until like maybe episode six. And then
that's fair.
And then you'll get it.
Yeah. I think it got out in front of a lot of these like more kind of adult animated shows where it's like, there's like funny, like weird kind of like, I don't know, like Simpsons Family Guy-esque humor. And then they just kind of gut punch you for sometimes like 10, 15 minutes at a time.
Is this a comedy?
Existential dread things.
Is it like a comedy with a heart? Because
that's the best kind. Yeah.
Yeah. It's got some heart. That's my favorite. All right. I'm in.
And a little bit of darkness.
All right. Because Rick and Morty was one that took me a while to get into. But once I saw it, there's a character development. There's love inside of this. It made me happy. But Adult Swim, for the longest time, I just kind of had a prejudice towards. I was like, it's just dumb humor.
I never knew this about you.
You know what? We're in a close, tight space here. We're amongst friends, right?
It's a safe space. We can.
Am I right, Algeria? We're amongst friends.
The Battle of Algiers, by the way, is such a good movie. I just wanted to bring that out for people who are curious. From Algeria is listening to is like, okay, I'm out.
He just lost another one.
He's already gone. They are already gone. I'm sorry.
Just good. Yeah. Okay. I think we can probably start to slip into Blink-182. That was a weird way to put that. We're going to slip into Blink-182. My whole thing asking that question, Alex, really was, and Rob kind of hinted at this. I wanted to preface. I want you to talk to us about why this record. Because you gave us three options.
Yeah.
We chose this one between Rob and me.
I was surprised a little bit because I don't know guys' Blink-182 histories necessarily. I don't think we've ever discussed that band very much.
I don't know if we've divulged it. No. I think that's the reason I wanted to choose it is I really haven't talked about Blink-182 in a long time. And I have a history where they're very special, right? I think for a lot of, like, I think if you were 13 of any gender, right? But for like a 13-year-old kid, and to be honest, I think I was younger than that. It was the first record, Enema of the State was the first record that I got as a gift.
Yeah, I think I had heard Damn It at some point, but didn't even know that was Blink-182.
Right.
Yeah.
And this was, I think, Limp Bizkit's Significant Other was the first true record, and then Enema of the State was right after.
Can I just say it now? Limp Bizkit made Colton play drums.
Yeah.
I'm just throwing that out there.
John Otto, take him to the Matthew Bridge. I want to go to the Matthew's Bridge. I shouldn't have told you that, Rob.
You shouldn't have. I tell everybody who likes you, like when they go like Colton's a really brilliant songwriter, I'm like, you know who made him a songwriter? Fred Durst.
I could easily do a Significant Other episode and I'll happily die on whatever hill I need to die on. I'm ready.
You heard it here, folks. That's the next one.
Here we go. Chocolate Starfish.
And I think that this record, the one you've chosen, Untitled, for me, this is where I got off the train.
And that is what I would assume because you guys are about, you know, a few years older. And I think for that crowd that kind of maybe fell in with Dude Ranch, that's where they stopped. You're like, okay, this isn't for me anymore.
Yeah. Well, tell us about it. Why is this record special?
Well, I mean, I got into Blink. I would see all the music videos. I was like probably around, 12 or 13. And it was right when they broke up the first time, probably like 2004, that I found that record. I would hear like, I Miss You on the radio and be like, that's great. But I just remember, you know, I mean, the older Blink stuff is great, but that I love when a band does something completely out of left field, it's different. And that is really the only one that holds up a bit in that regard. And I remember listening to that in like my backyard as a 13-year-old being like, this is the most perfect record of all time. Like, I mean, I think it's like, I don't know much about Pink Floyd, but this is like the wall for people.
Dark side of the mood. All right. Dark side
there you
of the
go.
Moon,
okay.
Youngster.
Yeah. But,
well, I love the album too. That was the album that like, I'm in the same boat as Colton to where it was just, yes, this is what we're listening to. We're listening to Enema of the State. It took me forever to actually get the joke of take off your pants and jacket.
Yeah.
That's how oblivious I am most of the time. I didn't even get the joke. I swear, I think it was a year ago. That's not true, everybody. But
to me, that's the one that's aged the most poorly. But
yeah.
But when you're 13 to 17, it's great. After that, there's nothing to like there, really, unless you're already in.
Yeah, but I fell in love with the self-titled album. That one, even though I have some, man, I don't like those songs, but just, it's what you said. It's kind of the Foo Fighters thing, to where, like, Foo Fighters had that album to where it's like, this is going to be our great album. And Blink-182 had that same kind of sentiment when they were going into the story. It's like, we are going to do something different. Mm-hmm. And it remains to be seen whether I think they accomplished it or not. But I very much so loved it then. Nothing just now, right?
No, I got all that. And I'm definitely happy to hear, because you guys' opinions are going to be very different than mine. I think I have a really strong, good authority on Blink-182. And I don't have a bad thing to say about this record, really.
We want to give you space to cook, Alex. We really do. I think my whole journey with this record is they had that big, like, I don't know if you guys saw this, the making the album. I think it was like the album launch special on MTV.
I was going to watch it the other day, couldn't.
I've watched that more times than I'm willing to admit.
And maybe this is also a good way to establish myself in this conversation for both of you. Take off your pants and jacket. That's number one for me. I listened to it the other day because I was almost kind of...
I love this. Just seeing Alex's reaction to yours.
Like online songs.
There's some really good songs on there. Mm-hmm. And then, like, I don't know. I don't want to be listening to Story of a Lonely Guy at 35. And Tom was like, probably like 29 when he wrote that. It's cute when they're like 19, 20. And then it's like,
Well, here's the thing. I don't think on self-titled, they go that far away from what Blink-182 already was.
And see, Alex,
I don't know.
Alex, this is how it starts. See, you think, a podcast talking with your buddies about music,
we just all get along.
We're going to hate each other at the end of this.
We've said things to each other where I don't think I've ever seen Rob be so upset with me.
That's true. Yes. It's a weird platform when you know that other people are listening and you feel like you have to get your opinion out. Typically, this would just be a conversation and we could be fine with it.
Jet Black New Year is overrated still. Rob, I just want to
put that podcast out. Over.
That's podcast over. Anything with counting. And Blink-182 does some counting too that I'm going to call out.
I'm counting, yeah.
I'm excited for this because, like, that special, and you've already said it. Like, I think they set this record up to be, this is like the big swing, right? And I think the one thing about it that bothers me, and I think this is maybe where every time I hear the record again, I kind of have to make an adjustment, like, mentally to really enjoy it. The whole thing was, this is mature Blink-182. Like, this is like no more like toilet humor, right? Any of those things, songs about grandparents.
Which I do think lyrically they accomplish.
I don't think they do. And that's my problem.
All right, here we go. Here we go.
Musically they do. I think lyrically, guys, it's rough to me. And I want to hear, Alex, I want to hear you respond to this. I think lyrically, to me, it's not. Like, I'm not saying it's like immature, it's like super weak, but I don't see them like getting anywhere deep that I would want them
to. Yeah, well, it's not, I think I have to preface that because when I was a kid, that was my favorite band, is the only reason I still like them today. And if I if I heard that album now, having never heard them, I would probably be like, hey, it's good.
Sure. No, nostalgia plays a big role in this album in particular, but.
But that's such
I think
a,
I still would
it's
like
worth it still. Yeah. I mean, because we've had the conversation with other stuff too, where even on this podcast, right? But we talk about, like, I think we were just mentioning Thursday. I think that was one of those bands where there's so much nostalgia for me with so
Let's
many.
Let's just get
records.
Beyond it, because the song that got me into Thursday was Jet Black New Year. And just shat all over it. So let's just move beyond. I get what you're saying.
Well, no, it's just the weirdest thing, because it's the same thing, Alex, you're talking about, where I'm like trying to unpack how I feel about it now, like looking at it from a critical way, to me, like as like a kid in high school, like screaming at it. And it's almost impossible to do, but that's what makes it beautiful. I think, I don't know.
Yeah. I don't think the lyrical content is anything that special. I think for them, it was pretty good and probably the best they've done, just because they weren't singing about high school. I mean, they were all like, having kids, getting married.
Yeah.
Other stuff going on in the bigger picture that kind of played into making the album what it was. Tom had just gone off and done Boxcar Racer, so he had that little heavier side to bring back to Blink, and there was a lot of tension in the band.
Oh yeah, well, Tom didn't want to come back to that joking environment. He didn't want it to be that. Yeah.
I don't blame him. And his other attempts to be serious haven't, you know, gone that well either.
Are we not doing an Angel? I did listen to a little Angels and Airwaves before that.
I mean, I've listened to it, but I haven't listened
could be
to
a,
it.
This
since.
Could be a 3-part podcast easily. Yeah.
Oh, we could.
Outside.
I can't say anything on Angels in the Airwaves.
I think the Boxcar Racer record
like one
was
time,
okay.
And okay, whatever.
The Boxcar Racer record is really good. Yeah.
Let's talk about Plus 44 or whatever it was called.
That's a great record too. That record's pretty good.
I just love the conversation. Like, we shouldn't do any more. We got to like really separate from Blink 182. Like, they're really attached to number based band names. I don't know. That's a
well, from my understanding, just because I do this all the time for the. For this podcast, I'll read the Wikipedia. Do you know why they chose Blink 182?
Yes, but they don't. There's not really an official reason.
There's not an official.
Rumors, I guess.
History is told to me through Wikipedia, and so Wikipedia is the one that told me that there was another band that was willing to sue them because they were calling themselves Blink, and they just chose a random number.
Okay, yeah, you're right. Then I thought you meant like. They say like, oh, it's the number of times Al Pacino says fucking Scarface, or it was Mark's ideal weight at the time, or
I really want to accept that it was Mark's ideal weight. I want that to be true so much.
The one I remember is the number of times that Al Pacino blinked in Dog Day Afternoon. That was the
okay.
One
see, this is one of those like telephone games that you hear about.
Yeah.
Beautiful. So here's how we're gonna do this. I'm gonna get us back on track, everybody. We're gonna go through.
Best
this.
Of luck.
We haven't done this before, Alex. You're on our maiden voyage, doing one album.
Yes.
In an episode, so I think we're gonna do great. I feel good. It's good vibes. We're gonna go track by track. We've asked you to come up with a song for each of our four categories. The best
I've
song.
I've got them.
You got them. Worst song. I have mine written here. Rob, you have your notes out. Yeah, this
mine are on my phone, which is what I'm doing the Zoom with. So I'll have to remember them.
I have the track listing right here.
And, okay,
perfect. You know,
I get to make my decisions as we go along.
I'd also like to, for the listeners at home that can't see, I'd like to say Rob's wearing a real silly hat. It's got two beer cans on the side, like with the straws coming down. And it says beer o'clock.
It does. It's got and it's a football helmet. It's a football helmet, dude.
It looks
Come on.
Stately. It's a stately looking beer. Yeah. Beer drinking. What do you call those?
I don't know. A football helmet with beer cans on the side.
I feel like there has to be a name. It has to be.
You right. Almost got me really self conscious there because I'm just going like, this is my hair, man.
I really thought you were wearing a funny hat. No, I was trying to paint a visual picture for the listeners that
that's not bad.
Nope. Is a lie.
I'll talk to our art guy and see if he can put together that image.
We'll do it.
That's the podcast image.
So we'll go track by track here. We're going to get it started, and we're going to start with Feeling This. And I'm curious. So this is like the start of new Blink 182. This is the first.
It's a song that does not work at all live, but it's great on the record.
It's a fun opener, but it was exactly what we were talking about before. Where it's like, this is your mature song. This is you guys growing up and giving me something different. Or it's like, I've heard the story that it was Mark Hoppus and Tom DeLonge went into different rooms.
Yes.
And just wrote for the... And I'm like, okay, so you guys grew up to write me a song that is about nothing? That's what it feels like to me.
That's fair. Well, they both wrote about, and I think it's kind of a little bit about the album that has both of these things. As we said, it's a very romantic album, and it's also a bit sexual. They were watching pornography on the TV the whole time they were recording it, so they say.
Man, they grew up.
Yeah, so that there was definitely, and if you watch that making of documentary, there was plenty of like Tom hitting himself in the nuts with a drum pedal, you know.
Again, very mature.
Yeah,
but I think this is the thing. Is I was so buying into like even like on that like making of and like when you read the Wikipedia thing, like all the like studio tricks that they were doing, right, and all this stuff. Which I love it when people like buy into it. And that's the thing that I really admire about this record. And you already said it, Alex, is when someone says, I want to make a big rock and roll record. Like, and I really want to like swing for it and do it. I always kind of dig that, even if it comes off as like overly grandiose sometimes or just totally whiffs. I'm always going to root for that record because I want us to do that. That's, we should be, right?
It's like, exactly.
But I think this is, I wish this wasn't the first single. Like I could see myself being
or first track. That's
it. It wouldn't work anywhere else. It's really not a great introductory single, other than those harmonies in the chorus. I think the verses are what's lacking, really. It's the chorus that's like, that's nice. That feels good.
And the chorus is actually short this time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Smile fades and smile.
And just the ending with just all of them to get like Beach Boys-esque kind of stuff going on.
Very much so, but I still don't know what he's saying.
All that time on Wikipedia and you couldn't look up the lyrics.
Well, no, man. Come on, man. You've listened to the podcast. I can care less about lyrics.
This is Rob going through going, okay, what? Got it. Okay. I know the thing. I want to say we're ready to go.
Let me look at my notes really quick. Yeah, that's track one.
So this is no one has this under a category.
It was almost on a category for me.
It could be, you know, it could be contending for worst song. There could be an argument
It was contending with that, but I chose another one.
I think, and you kind of nail it too, Alex, talking about the way that they wrote some of these. I think the songs that don't work for me, it's ones where they over rely on little like phrases or words that they kind of drop in. And I think
that's half the record.
It kind of is.
It's like, yeah. It really is.
Go. Yeah.
Or, but
down.
Yeah. It's like, hey, Mark, what do you want to sing? And he's just like, down. They're like, that's brilliant, man. Let's lay it down.
I'm falling.
I'm intrigued to see what our opinions are on that interlude.
We got a bit to go, but we're going to get there. But I don't have it anymore. I think we're talking about this not being the opener. If the opening to Obvious is the opening of the record, I'm like way more in. Like I
like it. Yeah.
I don't know. I think that opening
that works as an opener. That works.
Yeah. It's times like this, guys.
And then we wouldn't have them trying to recreate the flange drum intro for like every six songs on their new records every time.
There is such a Travis Barker element to this album. When there's part of me that's like, it's the maturity that you just rely on the most skilled musician in your band.
That's most of their career.
It's very true. It's very true. I always wonder that. Like, what do you guys think? Like, is Tom DeLonge a good guitar player? I don't think so. It's really messed up.
I'll let you take this, Alex.
Yeah.
He is not. But I learned songwriting from them. So I kind of, I'm not a good guitar player. And it's like he says, it's like nursery rhymes on crack. I don't say mine are on crack, probably. I'd say my nursery rhymes are maybe like they're taking mushrooms or they're smoking weed or something.
Gotcha.
Because, I don't always do the fast thing. But that's what he does.
Well, but it's kind of cool because what I was more getting at is like Tom DeLonge, Mark Hoppus. I'm just like, you guys aren't like virtuosos. You just kind of, it's what we said before, stay in your lane, like play to your strengths. Mm-hmm. And then you have Travis Barker, who a lot of people would call the greatest drummer of all time. I can't put myself in that boat, but he is a very good drummer.
He's good. He's good.
And it just feels like he took such a lead role on this album. It's just when you were mentioning the flames and the flanges and everything. It's
like, yeah. I think his fingerprints are definitely a lot on this album, a lot more than the previous ones.
Yeah.
Even in some ways that I wonder about, as we were talking about the interlude, I think we'll get to that later.
This is just my one hot take. I promise. I'm going to have maybe several.
You should.
Travis Barker to me is far overrated. He's
the overrated song on the album.
He's the overrated one, yeah.
I keep thinking of like with each band, I'm like, what's the secret sauce? Like every band or songwriter has like that, like either it's the instrument or it's the voice. Like when we're talking about Manchester Orchestra, like Andy Hull's voice is the secret sauce that drives that engine. And I think bands kind of live or die, right? Off of what is the thing that makes them go. Yeah. I think that Tom DeLonge's guitar playing is the secret sauce. I think when I think of like what gives Blink-182 their sound, it's like he plays a lot of octave chords. I always associate like that kind of like kind of the pitch.
And his guitar playing, while it may not be the most, you know, technically proficient or whatever, influenced so many people. There's so much times I hear something, I'm like, that they took that from Blink, or they're doing that because they heard Tom DeLonge do a bunch of octaves in a song. I did it on a bunch of Every Atlas songs. Like, that was pretty much all the guitar parts I played were just the Tom DeLonge octaves over stuff.
Hunted is definitely a Blink 182, isn't it?
Yeah. Yes, exactly. Yeah.
But to your point though, also Rob, I think the bands, like I said, they live or die off of that secret sauce.
I agree with what you're saying with the guitar part, but let's just move on to the next song, which is my overrated song. Miss You is very overrated to me.
I knew that would be at least one of your overrated songs.
I think that Tom DeLonge's fingerprint on music in general is the emo voice. His the way he phrases things is the cliche emo. What's the line then?
You're about to do what I think is the overrated thing, which is about that song, which is that all the people know that song is going, "Where are you?"
Yes.
And they do it all the time. Thank you for singing it. Everybody says it's so funny. And I get it, yeah. But I mean,
I still don't know what a yet is. You know,
see, what happens is you have a word my right before, and you're just continuing the Y. You just don't pronounce the H.
The voice is
not a lot of time to breathe.
Come on, the voice inside my yed instead of head.
I don't think this has happened before. Where what Alex has done is he has said his overrated is Rob's overrated opinion. I think that's the first time.
And it's not just Rob's overrated opinion. It's all over with that. It's the memification of that, of a great song. Yes. But I get it.
Great song. Great song. I don't hate the song. It's overrated to me.
It's beautiful. I think
I like the dance between the bass and the guitar at the intro and the drums. Like, I think it's a very good musical composition.
And what the guitars and the bass are doing in the chorus is like not crazy, but really interesting. Again, a lot of the octave stuff, and they're kind of like, you know, one's climbing when the other should be climbing, and the other one's staying still when you think it's kind of opposite of what you think.
Mm-hmm. Even the callback that it's like it's very clever. I actually find that to be mature.
I just talked trash about Travis Barker, but I think that is him at his most restrained, and I think he's better for that.
Yeah,
he doesn't hit a little splash cymbal even once.
No, he doesn't. And you know, it was so hard for him not to. Probably he really wanted to do it. He's like, you know what? This is our mature record. I'm not going to hit the flat. Exactly.
He's a little like open hi hat close onto the snare.
Well, I still stand by it, man. I don't know what he's. I don't know what the lyrics are really getting at in the chorus, and that could just be my own ineptitude.
So, but I think really? I'll go ahead and say. This is also my overrated. I'm sorry, Alex. I was going to let us all just look at Rob.
We didn't talk about this before. We did. This is all.
Here's my thing. All right. I actually, when I was thinking and closed my eyes, like before I heard the record, I was like, what does a mature Blink 182 record sound like? It sounds like this. I think what happens to me a lot is musically, I think this is, like we've already pointed out, I think it's great. And I think that Mark Kappas, his bass, I don't think of him as like bass-wise, it's just that like really clear, right, 4-4 for the most part.
Very root note.
Definitely. Yeah.
But I actually think he's like got a melody here, right? It's very lyrical in a way that I don't hear from him often. I just think this is Alex, I love you so much. This is Hot Topic to me.
It's very Edgar Allan Poe.
And I am of Hot Topic. I used to go to Hot Topic, and I have a all black notebook with the cover that says, quote the Raven, nevermore, where you had to write. I wrote all of my initial song lyrics, and you had silver ink gel pen. I'm just doing this to check my bona fides, everybody. And I would write my lyrics. And at that point, I was listening to Linkin Park and Limp Bizkit. So there were raps that I knew would be accompanied by. And the band I had in my head was Shattered. That was our name. Everybody.
That's there you great. Go.
Shattered.
So,
You know, one of the earliest band names I could think of that I thought of was Stitch. I thought Stitch was just going to blow up in that new metal area. Yeah.
That's we missed our time, Rob. I think we would have been better new metalers, but it's just hard for me. It's hard for me to hear that. And I think the mistake is I watched the video and it's that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
But again.
Well, no, even lyrically, it lends itself to it. Like, what? I can't remember.
The Nightmare Before Christmas stuff. Like,
that's
very hot topic. Yeah. At the time, I think that was less cringy than it is now.
Oh, yeah. Tom's Verse is actually good, though.
Oh, Tom's Verse is very good.
Yeah.
It's very, but it is still that just cliche emo.
He started it, man. That's his voice.
That's his voice.
Or it was his voice. He changed
Listen
his
to
voice.
Enema of the State. He didn't do that.
He don't
much.
Sound like he's got a different voice every time, if we're being honest. But
that is true. Right.
I didn't think I would be a Blink-182 defender in this record, Rob. But I think that Tom's voice is. I mean, that's. You
I'm
have
not saying
to
it's
have
bad.
The,
it just
the dynamic
listening to it.
Two.
Yeah. Listening to it over the last 2 weeks, I can't help but notice it, and it's because what Alex said before. The memes.
Yeah.
Like the memes where you hear you see those videos where it's all like, yeah, you know, I'm like, oh, it's Tom. It's Tom throughout this entire album.
And I definitely if we're talking secret sauce, I think the difference between Mark and Tom's voice is one of those sauces.
I agree.
Mark's got the low register and Tom, you're really high. Like nobody else. I mean, a lot of people sound like him now, but nobody was doing that whiny.
Yeah.
No, that interplay.
And it kind of fits. It fits their personalities. Like Tom wanted to be a lot more emotional, and Mark still wanted to be like, "Let's have fun." And some of the later songs lend themselves to that. Yeah,
I think we're ready to move on. We haven't. So, Rob, you and I have burned one of our categories.
Yes, we have.
I just want to keep track of this. So
overrated, right?
Overrated.
I'm afraid that Alex is just not going to use any of these categories. We're going to get there.
Oh, I've got them all.
Gonna be like, I just love the album.
No, I've got them, but I definitely don't have a nice, super critical opinion of any of them other than like, well, that's the one that has to be.
Alex, that's half the fun of having a podcast.
I gotta tell you,
it is.
It's hard because you have to pick like an album that you can even say like has an overrated or underrated opinion. None of people have to know it. I can't pick some obscure like, well, I really like this half and not this half.
Come on, man. I chose a worst song on your album, and it's a great album.
I'll talk a little shit. Here.
Yeah, come on, man.
Don't worry. We'll get there.
Never goading Alex, but like, Alex, embrace it.
Stop being nice.
The darkness will take over you. Yeah. I'm going to be so cantankerous after this.
All right. So the next track is Violence. I'll go ahead. Love it, Alex.
Great track, 5 stars.
Nothing wrong with it at all.
Next one.
Love it. Done.
I like the snaps.
Yeah, it's so cool. Yeah. They weren't doing anything like that. You know,
I still don't know what he's saying in the verse. Like I never listen to the lyrics. Every single time that the verse kicks in, I'm just like, all right. But I love the chorus. I really do love the chorus. Colton.
Hi guys. So
Colton. I love the chorus. How about you?
This is my worst song of the album. Because worst. Here's the thing.
All right.
I think the problem is also when I was reading like a breakdown of the record like earlier this week, they called this song jazzy. And I was like, I don't know. Jazzy. It's the finger snaps, I think.
They were applauding for a poem.
I would say loungy. I wouldn't say jazzy.
Yeah, I think lounge. I'll deal with lounge.
Loungy, smoky, maybe, but not jazzy.
I think what we've discovered is like reading about music is kind of a fool's errand. Writing about music is speaking about music is obviously better, but
making music is
that's probably the most ideal place to come from. Yeah, yes,
making and listening, talking, writing. Well, I don't know, but I admire where the song
engaging.
Comes from. Yeah, where it comes from. I like because I like you said they've never done something like it before. They could have done a palm muted verse, right, and it would have been fine, and they could have let Travis do his toms, which is what he would do. Talking about
Travis and being and his fingerprints on the record, I think that whole intro was probably all his idea as far as like everything going on there with the snaps and what the drums
very
are doing
percussive
up until the guitars come in. I think that was all like he brought that to the table.
But that's And to an extent, I think that's why the chorus is a little lackluster. Even though I do like the chorus, it just feels like and what do we do here? And it's just like, and it's like, okay, yep, here we go. That's the chorus. And
do you guys think it's, I always thought it sounded a little bit like Modest Mousey, that opening, that.
Oh yeah, the little twangy, like.
I can see it.
I don't know. I think that overall, the reason I think it's the worst song is I think that it's an example of what I think are the weaker points of the record. It's the attempt to mine something that is a bit more like meaningful and insightful. And I don't know, even though they want a more kind of mature voice, I don't necessarily know what they want to say with it. Like, I think, like, I'll tell you right now, my favorite Blink-182 song, the one I think is the best one, is Adam's Song.
Okay.
That's a good, and like lyrically, musically, when I hear that, like that is written from like a teenage, even though they're not teenagers, right? But it's like a like
very
immature way, yeah. Right? Of, I mean, at that point, everyone had, not to be too crass, but a suicide song. That was like, yeah. And it was like weirdly like a way to get like a hit, right? Like Papa Roach, that was their first single.
Yeah. I would say, with rare exception, Blink-182 does not know what they're writing about most of the time. And they're just trying to write because that's the, I don't know. I feel like maybe you guys feel the same way. Like, we have to write. We're not just like, oh, I need to make an album. Here's the songs I wrote. There you go.
You're so damn on point there.
You have to. Each song is... has a, you know, reason.
Yeah. Well, I'm wasting my time if I don't. Nobody else has to hear it. I have to just try to create something.
Yeah. I don't think they have that feeling where they're like, they would listen to their own album on their phone that they made at home if nobody else was listening.
Yeah. No, I feel like they locked themselves in a basement and had to force themselves to put out an album.
This is a callback.
Yeah.
But I see what you're saying. And I don't know. I feel like I see moments of like real insight and beauty in those earlier records because it feels almost so accidental when they come across, like when he sees like at the, when I spilled the cup of apple juice in the hall, please tell mom it's not my fault. Yeah. That's just good writing. It's specific. It's compelling.
Sorry.
Like Violence, You Kill Me. Oh man. I don't know.
I think the difference between those two songs, just which are worlds apart to me, but to me the real difference is they were having fun during Adam's Song, and during this one it was like, let's try to go back in there and do this again. It doesn't strike this album doesn't fully strike me as like, oh, we're having a good time.
No, it's not very fun. It's very tumultuous.
Yeah,
but like, and now I'm all flip-floppy. I think musically that pays off, right? I think like they really do get somewhere that they hadn't gotten before. But that's, and like to call it the worst song, like I don't hate this record, but I had to come up with one, and that was the only one I could think of.
That's definitely would be a contender, I would say. Top five in there. And I sort of stole, I didn't necessarily steal a bit, but on The Hermit, Filled With All The Love And Violence, I'm referencing this record specifically, which is, I think, is Violence and Love.
Oh, yeah,
is a theme for sure on that. And
okay, I have another hot take. The Hermit is better than this record.
That's a hot take.
That is not a hot take.
That's a hot take.
We'll see.
That's easy to say. I say it like,
I mean, I gave The Hermit a 5 out of 5, and so we'll see. We'll see.
Okay. All right. So, do we want to count? Are we counting the interlude?
Stockholm Syndrome interlude.
That's the one that we don't count. Which is,
if we count
the lady,
that's
talking.
The worst song.
Yeah,
that's just the lady talking. Sorry. No, I did want.
Actually,
to
you
count.
Know what? It wouldn't be. Wait. If we count the interludes, that would still not be my least favorite interlude.
What is that?
Okay, see, there we go. See, I wanted to count the Fallen interlude because I have some opinions about that as well. But I think they are opposite opinions of our friend Robert here.
So, am I right though? That's. Well, it's a British actress. I don't remember her name, but it's her reading a letter from Mark Hoppus's grandmother.
Yes.
His grandfather.
Something Jackin. Sick Jackin is coming to my mind. And that could be a person's name. It could not be. Look at the booklet and I'll see if my memory is good.
But the one thing I was thinking is like to write that like at the time and like this big weighty thing. And then it goes into like the Stockholm syndrome of the song. I was like, I bet they would never a million years would have imagined that would happen.
I believe, if I remember correctly, that you kind of had to skip back on the CD to hear that. I don't think that that even played.
I forgot all about that time frame of CDs.
Yeah, I think you had to actually rewind the CD before Stockholm Syndrome to hear that.
That's
in streaming, it might just be tacked on to the end.
And now we stream it, and it just ruins the damn album.
Streaming, it's all. It has its own track on YouTube. What a sad state of
affairs. That's unfortunate.
However, to go back to what you were saying when you were saying that in Violence, you referenced that. The next song, Stockholm Syndrome, Colton, my friend Sam has a song where I absolutely ripped off Stockholm Syndrome.
Yes.
Seattle is dead. That little hesitant, like, bah, nah, nah, bah, bah, nah, that was absolutely based off of that song.
I feel very like, I'm like,
I would have never told you that back in the day because. Colton,
it's a good riff to rip off. That's a good riff.
Colton sits in his ivory tower, so I didn't want him to know that I'm ripping off.
I thought we were ripping off Jawbreaker. I was like, yes, it's Jawbreaker. So now I feel very like I've been living a lie.
That wasn't as cool as I thought it was.
No, listen back to that, man. Like what we do, I can't. What's sad is I'm remembering how Stockholm Syndrome goes, and I can't remember how Seattle is Dead goes. But
it went, exactly.
I mean the first lyrics of Seattle is Dead is this is the first thing I remember. No, all right, I'm getting
that's the right. That's the lyrics to Stockholm Syndrome. That's not
yes, it is. It is.
All right, so this is no one's category. We can move
this,
on
from. Would be number two for best song, I believe.
Okay,
this could very easily be best song.
I do
record.
Really like this song.
It is probably the best song that Mark and Tom share writing duties on.
I know. And isn't that weird, too? Because in the chorus, I think everything is like it's almost subpar or well, that's an incorrect. As a sports fan, that's not the right word. It's above par. Where it's not it doesn't seem
that's
like
a golf reference, ladies and gentlemen.
That's right. That's right. But
we're moving across.
But it does seem like Mark's vocal melody just seems so boring, but it just hits. Perfectly, like their concept for the chorus, I don't think is that advanced, but it strikes me the right way. That little like, this is the first thing I remember. Now it's the last thing left on. It seems like it shouldn't be as good as it is, but that's kind of a magic that I'll always appreciate. To where it just felt like it works. It
when they get the call and response right, it's very nice. They don't always do. Sometimes it's a little forced, but when they find that groove that they both fit in. It hits right.
Yeah.
It's the same thing when I heard the opening riff to Obvious, where it's like, if Blink-182 was suddenly just like a post-hardcore band on this record, I think I'd be way into it.
Yeah.
I think they should have embraced that. I think this should have been a darker, I think that's the thing. I think if it was a darker record, I would look back at it a bit more fondly than I do. Cause like, there's moments like where I can hear, and maybe that was a turmoil where Tom's riffs are like, more headed more towards that way.
Yeah, I think you could blame Mark for the poppier side of not wanting to.
He still wants to feel good.
Yeah, still, even now.
Yeah. Which can we really knock him? It's okay to play music to feel good, but the three of us, we're all a bunch of depressed.
It's never
a-holes.
Happened. It's never happened to me before. What are you talking about? Not just crushingly anxious all the time. I'm confused.
Yeah, that's not good music at that point.
All right, so we're at down. Rob, you were afraid this would be a short episode. It's we're in for this. Are you doing anything else, Alex?
Somewhat soon. We got some time.
Okay. Oh Jesus. Okay, that's so all let's right. go on to down.
All right, for down, I really love this song. I don't really want to say it's my underrated, but it contends with it's in contention, but. It's, to me, I guess it's more just properly rated. It's a good song. I really like the song Down. Down, down, down.
And that's been Rob McGregor on Down.
I will say
I would like a little bit
right.
more feedback, everybody.
I would say you're right. It's a great song. And I had a hard time picking for some of these more dig categories. But I would say that's worst song, probably, for me.
Worst song? All right.
I think so. It's a good song. It's fine. It's out of the singles. I mean, it's that and Always. As far as I'm not worst song. Sorry, overrated.
Overrated. Okay.
Not worst song. Overrated because it's a single. Yeah, because it's a single. I'd say Always was my second overrated pick. They're good songs. They're beautiful, romantic lyrics, and, you know, but it's a little boring. That's all. It's the same chorus.
Oh, man.
The whole time.
Do you still feel the same way when you watch the music video? Because the music video bumps it up.
Yeah.
Terry Crews as the cop is a little like distracting. I'm like, that's Terry Crews. And I think,
hey, wasn't distracting in 2004. I didn't know who the hell that was.
He was a lot more obscure at that point.
The post chorus, we are talking about it, but like the down repeat, it's, I don't know, it's, that does bring it down for me, because I actually the chorus itself, the tidal waves,
that's beautiful.
I think it's really good lyrics. If we're going to talk about something like that, the who did this, that's where I get like
that's Travis Barker there. Speaking of fingerprints, that's Travis doing that whisper.
Mr.
There
TB,
he also, he also does the yaz on Obvious.
I wanted to bring that up before. I'm so glad you brought that back.
I forgot.
Those were kind of
all right.
Well, I'm glad you brought it back.
Well, I think we're finally there. I think we've all been excited for this. We're at the Fallen interlude.
Yes.
Alex,
worst song.
We just did overrated. If I didn't see that text of no interludes and I thought this included that, that would be my underrated, because everyone hates that song.
Is it a song?
No, but it's the most out of all the interludes they've ever done, it's the most a song. And it's kind of just a continuation of Down, that again, Travis Barker's fingerprints. I don't think Tom or Mark played any instruments on that song. I don't believe it might have been Travis on the guitar and bass, but I don't think that's Tom DeLonge or Mark Hoppus guitar riff.
Still, those drum fills, it's like, okay. Like, oh, and right here you should go.
Well, when I was 14, I would put that on and show my dad and be like, I don't care about Rush. This is the greatest drummer. Listen to this.
I think this record and that track is like the, because was he already doing the transplants?
Yes.
Okay. I just feel like at one point Travis Barker was everywhere, and it's when like neither of the other two were doing a lot, and like Travis Barker was like doing all these different, what is it, like different rappers, and I don't even know what it was, to be honest. It would just say, oh yeah, Travis Barker is doing this thing, and I just would see him drumming with people doing stuff. I think at some point I kind of lost the plot with TB. I find him, as of today, I don't know. I find him artistically bankrupt.
I agree for sure.
I can't argue against that.
Machine Gun Kelly. We could spend all day.
I do enjoy. I don't know. I'm trying to find something nice to say about Travis.
And you guys just tell me, who is the guy singing at the end of the Fallen interlude? I don't know who it is. My Wikipedia research failed me. I don't know who's singing the
Ron Frosi.
Down. Who is it?
Ron Mano. 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 Of course. I have the track list in front of me. It says lead vocals.
Okay.
It informs me not. But honestly, Cole, we've talked about it before. What are the worst lyrics that you can add into a song? Down and Fallen.
Yeah. Yep.
Well, there goes my new song. I just fell down. I'm gonna have to cancel that one.
No, that's actually gonna be the next song where the three of us each get a verse. Just make sure
Weifel were offering me a lot of money for that one too.
I've always anytime someone's rhymed life, anytime it was life with strife, I would get bummed out. Anything about breaking down or breaking, although I've broken all those rules.
There's definitely a lot of times if somebody rhymes a word with, you know, the rhyme that's coming, and you're like, why'd you do that?
Why'd you do it, man? It's
don't go to that easy target there. Speaking of easy target,
oh my god,
I'm a little early. I think I don't remember.
You're a little.
Rob, was that your worst song, or that was a joke?
What, Fallen interlude?
Yeah,
it's not a freaking song. I don't think we can count that.
I would say that's, I'll put that in the realm of underrated for me, but not as the official choice.
Okay.
Did I?
Okay.
Oh, no, no, I'm not at my worst song yet.
So now we're at Go.
I love Alex's positioning. Look how, Alex, this is what we do every 2 weeks. And look how tired you are.
You guys are committed, man. I can't, they're still coming.
That's
out
why we're
every
in
time.
Such good shape.
We're talking about one album. All of our other episodes, we're talking about the entire discography, man.
Bill Carton Cage went way longer than I think either of us thought it would. I don't think either of us had that many things to say about Bill Carton Cage. I don't have anything about Go other than it sounds the most like an older Blink-182.
It sounds very Blink. Yeah.
Yeah, that's the closest to the older stuff. And I think it could be a contender for worst song for that reason. But
man, see, I really like it. This was a contender for underrated. For me, just because I like the fact that they went back to it. I think the you know, go. I don't want to go. I just thought it was cool. And I think I liked it more because it was just like, yeah, it's Blink being Blink.
And it has both of the saying nothing and saying something in the verses, because I think the verses are pretty close to Adam's song, where it's like a depressing like song about his stepfather like treating his mom like crap and like her being sad.
Like the story Mark's telling to her is just like, we got nowhere to go. And like, mom told me we got nowhere to go. I'm just like, is this true? Wikipedia failed me again, or I failed Wikipedia, really.
Right. Well, why you gotta donate?
I did donate, actually. I have
donated to Wikipedia.
I have donated to Wikipedia.
You're gonna make us look bad.
Yeah, I never done it.
We donated to NPR. That was my that I don't know.
There's too much political affiliation. I'm just Wikipedia is nice and central. Just no. All right.
nice and central. All right. Well, I think we're at what I'm excited.
You
we're
get to give us a category.
Song.
Yeah.
Estania. It's my fifth best song to me.
The best one. You're right.
Okay. So you both agree on this.
Yes. That's the best song for sure.
Colton couldn't remember how the chorus went when we were on a phone call earlier today.
Should I? With that sweet guitar riff that's matching it. Yeah.
Don't they do the little time signature shift in the bridge?
Yeah. So sick.
I love the song. It's not my favorite song, but I mean, the opener of it, I think it's just great. That like, I love the song. I really do. But it just didn't fit into any particular category for me.
I think that's where, and actually starting maybe with Go, but more or less with Estania, it's pretty much all roses for me from here on out. The first half of the record to me is really rough.
Understandable.
I think a lot of the singles from there, I don't like a lot of the singles. I think when we get to this point, I'm way more in. I think they work better together. And this is where I'm finally like, I get it. Like, I get the what kind of Blink-182 they're going for. Yeah. I don't think they're this the whole time. But if it was this, where it's like Angels, it's an Angels and Airwaves-esque.
Yeah, well, that's when he kind of started on that path with Estania for sure. And I think I would agree with that, where they kind of the back half of the record, I think it was sort of sequenced in how they wrote it, honestly. All those, like, especially with watching the doc, feeling this obvious, I miss you, those down. Those were some of the first ones they were writing. And then these ones we're getting to now are kind of like at the end of the line. Like they were recording, they weren't even in the house anymore when they were doing the final recordings for Estania.
Yeah, they're finally reaching their groove towards just like, okay, now we know what this album's supposed to be.
And don't you guys, are you like this where if I'm writing, like during a period of time where I think I'm writing towards a record, what I find is the first three or four songs I write are not ones that end up going on the record. They're like, they're the things I generate to almost like I had to get them out of the way to get to the other ones.
Yeah. For the most part, I honestly just relinquish all response. I write the song and then I just go like, do what you want. Just like, I don't care what the track list is. It's over. I've put my emotions into this.
You got the songs. Do what you want with them.
Yeah. I just
think if you cut this record to like a 9 or 10, like I love that The Hermit is 9 songs. I love 9 track albums.
Yeah, agreed. Yeah,
they're so great. Domestica is 9, and that's one of my favorite records of all time. And
it's not bad.
I think if there was 9 or 10 songs, this would be so good. And we'd start with Estania.
Is it that much more after that?
We only have a few. We have
like four, four or five, maybe.
I'm just talking about like how many songs are on the album. How many?
14, I believe.
Oh, God, 14. Four too many for, or I'm sorry, five too many for Colton.
If we're over 12, I'm like, oh, what are we doing? What are we?
Nowadays, for sure.
Yeah, we have Always is next.
Best song. What the hell's wrong with you guys? That song's incredible. The bass work is incredible. The freaking drumming is incredible. Absolutely. Listen to that song.
Those are
again.
Root notes. What is they?
No, they're not. They're not.
It's two root notes. That's right. It's chords. I'm hearing it now.
that would be called an octave, and it's not an octave chord. All right. I don't think it might be a fifth. I think it's a fifth. I think it's a five chord, but still just, yeah, the overall nature and the development of that song. And also that music video is cool.
Yeah, that's the best music video for sure.
It is the best. I'll agree with that. Can I retroactively go back and say that the music video for Feeling This is hot garbage?
Sure.
Yeah. It's
like a bunch of like
pretty on brand, but yeah.
In prison, right. Like, oh,
I'll die on this hill, though. I think Always is a great song. I think it's a great, great song. And yes, maybe the music video steered me that way. But I love the damn song. I love the song. I think the drum work is actually the most impressive and most like accurate. Travis Barker just like, yes, actually, this is your moment. And he does it just so well.
That's one where I think, yeah, the music is beautiful, and so is the lyrics. It's very like romantic and nice. But yeah, I'd say that was like second choice for Overrated for me again, just because it's another single. Like, I don't know that people love it, but they loved it enough to make it the single. And
yeah, when you were saying that earlier, I was just like, okay.
And it's similar really to the like down thing. Yeah, it's similar to the down thing where it's like the same. Always.
But come on, when it drops out and I've been here.
That's good. Before. I like the low voice.
I love that moment, man. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's the Tom voice. If Mark's singing that, it doesn't seem the same.
And you know what? Tom doesn't sound like an emo sap at that moment. He's got a little bit more of a he's enunciating the word correctly.
We're not going to get Tom DeLonge on this podcast. I was talking to this for sure.
Yeah. I won't be able to understand him.
We're already not going to get Andy Hole on. I think I ruined that. Andy, please come on. Know your rights. We can talk it out. All right. Well, next we have Easy Target, which is my underrated. And when I chose underrated, for me, it's hard.
Not bad.
I'm not like, and even when this record came out, I'm just not totally involved in like the conversations people have of these things. It was my underrated because I remember hearing this when it first came out, and I don't even remember this song. And I was like, you know, it's not my favorite, but
it's a good tune.
It works. I don't like, once I learned the story behind it, I liked it less. Because I think it's basically them, it's their producer, right? Who told them the story about how he liked the girl.
That's right. Yeah.
And she like tricked him to come over to her house, and her friend sprayed him with the hose.
Wait, what song are we talking about?
It's
Easy Target.
Easy Target. Yeah. I thought all of this was actually the story behind that. Because Holly.
They are this.
Is there a connection between the two songs?
Sort of. Not.
Well, I mean, that's true. Because, yeah, at the end of it, it does.
It's totally different songs. But they say, like, oh, well, we had one where the riff is fast and one where the riff is slow. I see them as completely separate songs that just lead into each other.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, except for the fact that they recycle from one another.
Yeah, true.
At least musically.
I like Fast Blink.
Oh, it's good, man. I think the chorus behind the song is really killer. Yeah, and they yet again they have that like better run. All right, let me out. It's just like, yeah, I like that little like the dynamic between the two vocalists. It's some I've actually always liked throughout the Blink 182 timeline. It's really fun hearing how those two write together. They have a really cool contrast between their voices. Colton and
I don't know what they did in the second verse there. I'd have to listen to it again. But something changes in the second verse musically where they get to the savor of the moment because the memory's fleeting. I think it's just the bass by itself, maybe. I the think guitar cuts out or something.
I think the guitar and the bass switch on that little.
That sounds so beautiful right there.
Oh, it's cool. It's creative. It's a really good choice.
All right. So that bleeds into all
the
of this.
Worst song on the album.
There we go. And that's Alex is done.
My pure loving heart is breaking.
I'm sorry. It's based off of what Colton said as well, or what we all agreed on. Tori, it's like it's based off this story of this lady, Holly. And I was like, okay, well, that ruins it. And then at the same time, I think the song drags on a little too long, and I think they use Robert Smith for credibility.
Well, it's the most credible person they've had work with them for sure.
Yeah,
what about Menno?
Yeah, we forgot about Menno that we didn't know did that part in Fallen Interlude.
Totally overshadowed. He was like, "Hey, I'm on the new Blink record." It's like, "Oh, it was Robert Smith." God,
I think we also have to. It's worth mentioning if talking about not crediting people that are important to the record. Jerry Finn is a huge producer. Rest in peace. He's like the fourth member of Blink, especially with that record. I think he's since they lost Jerry Finn, they have not been able to make anything close to that sounded that good, even like just tonally. Like,
well, I did not know that. So you know what? There is no worse song on this album. Jeez, man.
Well, no, not that song specifically. Yeah. He produced the whole record. You could shit on that song.
Sure. That was initially my point, was just more the fact that it's like, I think that they brought him in. I don't think Robert Smith gives two shits about that song. Like, listening to the song at the very end of it, when he's doing his, like, when they're doing that really slow dying out where it's like, it's just the bass and the drums. I feel like his lyrical selection, like Tori, he's obviously picking from, he's bobbing for these lyrics that already occurred in the song. Just going like, he's just staring at a sheet of paper and just going like, I'll say this one again. Yeah, I'll say this line.
There is something to be said though about, like, correct me, Alex. He's basically their guy, right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, Mark loves The Cure, so he's big fans. I'm sure Tom does too. But
I think it reminds me actually of like South Park, because it was the same thing. I think that Robert Smith, for a lot of people, he's like if you're of a certain age, he's the guy for a lot of people that you associate with, like, emotion, vulnerability, right? Yeah. Like, he's my Chris Caraba.
There you go. Yeah. It was a big get for them, for sure.
Yeah. And so in that way, I think just the fact he's there, I don't know, every now and then it is like maybe a credibility thing, but it's like when I used to watch, do you guys watch on YouTube videos of like famous athletes meeting with kids who like them? And cry, is
all
that
the time.
Anything? Cry, I'll just watch those videos. It's the same deal for me. I just get emotional. I'm like, how good for them that's
it was their make a wish. Yeah, they got Robert Smith to come down right before the band died.
The listener, do that for just a day. Go to like watch like Steph Curry's good. Like watch Steph Curry meeting kids.
No,
they don't have to be.
No. Watch LeBron, and then all right. Anyway, here we are.
Blink's Make-A-Wish, by the way, not the children. I wasn't trying to say the kids were dying. It was Blink-182's Make-A-Wish.
I understand what you mean. Yes, Robert Smith came in. Robert Smith came in.
You know what I'm talking about.
Oh, you guys wanted me to be on your album? Okay. Your band's about to die.
All right, love whatever he said.
Your band's about to die. I know how to... I've been in this situation before.
Oh, my God.
But that's why I don't... That's why it's the worst song to me.
Almost underrated for me, only because... I was speaking of Dave again. Dave didn't even know that song existed. He was like, "What? Is it Robert Smith sings on a Blink song?" Like, yeah, you never listened to the back half of Untitled? What are you doing?
He couldn't get through the first half.
Yeah, that's the problem, right? Yeah.
I have to confess something about our next track. Like, I'm looking at it. I know it's there. I've listened to it several times. Here's Your Letter. I don't remember how that song goes, guys.
And that's why it's underrated.
For you. This is my underrated.
Why it's underrated. It's such a good Mark song. Like, the best one.
Hey, yeah. Oh, God, I can't let this kill me. Let go. And look at me putting my arms on.
We're at a concert now.
I'm way out of it. I remember it now. I need more time.
We're talking about Hot Topics. I have a very good memory of that song blasting through a Hot Topic. And I was like, oh, yeah, this is great.
Yeah. Is Hot Topic still a thing, by the way? Are they still open?
I don't think so.
not as big as it once was. I don't think.
Do kids have
are
like
malls? Are malls still?
I don't know if anybody goes to malls. I think they're there, but they're a ghost town.
Yeah, I feel like I don't know.
It's like malls are museums now. Hot Topic is like a museum piece.
That's a weird thing for me to even think about. But I just remember like walking by Hot Topic when I was younger, like 10, and being afraid of it because it had like a bunch of like scary things. I remember thinking, I'm not supposed to go in that store. That's like a bad store. And the first time I went in, I felt so cool. It was so dangerous. And it's like a bunch of metal shirts and stuff. And like I got my Avenged Sevenfold with the skull. It was the first thing I had with the skull, and I felt really cool. I don't know. It's a very visceral memory, and it smelled awful in there all the time.
Yeah, I think it is very fitting. I think the first thing I bought from Hot Topic was an AFI hat. And I mean, AFI is the band that is the image of Hot Topic in my mind.
Yeah. In Darkness Growing Wings in the back. By the way, you're the only person I know who has an AFI hat, and that's
I
so
don't
on
have
brand
one,
for you.
But I had
that
one.
You bought a hat.
Had an AFI hat.
Well, come on, man. At one point in time, I painted my fingernails. I was one of those guys.
That's what I knew you.
Yeah.
I don't know you anymore, but I
or any less. All right. So another reason why I'm going to say, here's your letter is underrated. Is because people like the song that preceded it. And that's why I get really excited when I hear the next track. When I hear Here's Your Letter, I'm like, oh, I can get over all of this. It's a nice recovery.
Oh, man.
I'm sorry, Alex. I don't like that song. I'm sorry.
No, yeah, that's fine. It's slow.
He's mentally writing you off as we go.
The song The Hermit is better than that song, for damn sure.
I don't know. By the way, this is weird. I love The Hermit.
I'd love that you love it. That's weird. That makes me happy to hear.
It makes me so. I have that record. I should have brought the record on vinyl. I was going to show
Colton get on the boat. Colton, get on the boat and follow Alex.
Such a good line. Okay, we're at the last track of the album, and I did a little because I do this after I'm done with figuring out things. I go to Reddit, which is a mistake because now it's like Reddit's like you love Blink-182, and I'm like I don't want Blink-182 stuff, but now I do. It's just there. And I looked up people ranking this album worst to best. And for whatever reason, every single person hates I'm Lost Without You.
Like, I'm not the biggest fan.
I don't know what the deal is. Alex, where does this stand?
All right. So there are some songs that are good songs and good closers. Mm-hmm. And there are some songs that are just good closers. That song is a great closer for the album.
I don't really like the way you said that. Yeah.
I don't think the album should close any other way. That should be the last song. It's so fucking boring. It's overindulgent. It's
it should be in a Hallmark movie.
Sure, yeah.
Yeah. Like that's
I don't know what's going on in the beginning. If that's seagulls or like what's the
The sound of it's cool, the little piano like element to it.
I love the piano for sure, especially at the end.
Yeah, the little like break
when it comes back in with the mm-hmm. dun,
dun, I do dun, still dun. Hold it. I still kind of hold a grudge because I'm like, I just feel like none of the three of them were playing the piano at that moment. And that just irks me a little. And I don't know if I'm right.
Yeah, no, that was probably Jerry Finn for sure. Probably was not them at all.
Yeah.
I don't know why that upsets me, but it just does.
I think this one I remember reading is where they do so much like studio, like mass, like magic stuff where it's like
50 tracks.
Yeah, I just don't hear any of it. It doesn't sound good. It doesn't sound big like it probably should.
Well, I like what they're doing for the little like gap between the verse and the chorus, and it does hit pretty hard. Are you afraid of being alone? I am. but can we just all admit it? This album is incredibly overproduced. The entire album, there are so many things that I think got covered up. What did they say? They recorded this album from January to October.
Yeah.
January to October. Jeez. That's a long stretch of time for this album.
Should also, though, Rob, you and me, like, because I don't think Alex, we're not going to bring you in on this. Rob and I, in terms of recording, we have a bad, like you didn't record it in a week. And
that's very true.
Every day,
If you didn't digest this and put it in a toilet right away, then, you know, it's not a good album.
The hardest Underground I have ever worked on a record was For Every Atlas, the record you guys came down and recorded.
Spent the most time on that one. Yeah.
And it was because we were like, we can't screw this up because
And if we're talking about trimming fat off records, that record could have used a couple songs cut. I'll say that.
Probably the one that I played bass on. That one still haunts me to this day.
Was that the one none of us could get the track for? It's like three different people tried to do bass for it, and none of us could do it.
I've actually heard that song fairly recently, and maybe this will be featured on the podcast, but that bass line just should not repeat that many times. I think you guys came through with another bass player who did the right thing and went like, I'll do it once.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I have no memory of that, but just of you recording so beautifully and doing a great job. That's all I remember. Thanks,
people, thanks, by the way, you're listening to Birthday Dad, and you're probably like, yeah, I'm a fan of Birthday Dad. Go listen to Every Atlas also, because Every Atlas.
I don't know if Alex consents to this.
I will also say maybe don't do that unless you want a tainted image.
Just everybody, when you
listen, good songwriter.
When you listen to Birthday Dad, know that Colton and I played a huge role in Alex's musical past. That's all
personally like listening to those first two records as a look what I made when I was a young lad.
There you go. Yeah.
I love it. Well,
We're at ratings.
Right? I feel like I missed something, but I don't think I did.
Well, I missed one thing that I have to go back just for Rob about Asenia, because I don't know if you know this, and I know you're a big Beatles fan. So in the verses for Asenia, this place is void of all passion. If you can imagine, it's easy if you try.
Yes.
Did you catch that, Rob?
Did you catch
that
one?
I believe that's a reference to a John Lennon tune. Yes.
You're correct.
Doesn't ring any bell to me. Yeah. I haven't brought up the Beatles even once this podcast.
I'm not going to lie. That actually makes me like the song less.
I ruined it.
Because, I mean, it's Tom DeLonge. It's just more pretentiousness. It just gets,
come up with it, I don't think. But who can say?
Was that some more of that Finn character?
It might have been some Jerry Finn work. I believe the original lyric he had was, you'd forget it if you try. Mm. And somebody told him to change it to that. Said, hey, you set this up right here, perfect tee, and you're missing it.
I want to just quickly, I want to fix the record. I think I'm Lost Without You, if they cut that Travis Barker solo at the end.
Oh, at the very, very end. Yes.
I love that, just though, fade personally.
Out. It's just fun, but it is a little bit of just like, what are we doing here? It's just like, oh, let's drag it on. It's again. Well, we're about to dive into it. What are our rankings for this album? Who wants to start?
I'm afraid to start. Alex.
I'll start. I give it 5 yeds out of 5 possible yeds.
5 yeds.
No,
out of 5
you
yeds.
Don't.
Yes, he does.
No, I give it a
you
5.
Don't.
5 yeds. But that is a purely nostalgia,
this is Alex's insincere parking lot crusader, Alex.
Yeah.
Right? That's the name, by the way, of Alex's.
I give the Hermit a 4 out of 5. You know, I feel like
that's
more sincere.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Objectively, I mean, we could give it like a 3.5. It did a good job.
I think the love.
In my heart, it's a 5.
That's five. Well, that's, well, your heart doesn't matter. So we'll go 3.5.
3.5 official rating.
My heart not included as well. I'm at a 3.5. That's what I was choosing. But I do love the
show,
album.
Everybody.
I listen to this album. There. I listen to this album very regularly. I really do. I listen to Always. Always.
That's always. I think
Colton,
in previous
sort of
episodes.
One?
No. In previous episodes, what's been difficult, Alex, and maybe you've heard this, listener, maybe you've heard this, is we can never rate just one album. We're doing the whole discography as best we can. And so even though it's like Weezer, Pinkerton's a 10 out of 10, 5 out of 5, whatever. But when I did that whole discography, there's so much that weighs it down that I can't give it anything. I think Rob, a 5 out of 10? If I were doing Blink-182, the first half of Blink-182 is, again, very personally, just makes me feel great. And it's like, I just love it. Like, I love listening to the Mark, Tom, and Travis show in, like, my grandma's Explorer at night with my cousins. We'd sneak out and listen to it. and laugh at them, like to all these dirty jokes, and it felt like the thing you weren't supposed to do. It's a beautiful memory. This record is a 2.5 out of 5 for me.
That's actually better than what I was anticipating.
And the reason I think that musically, I really do appreciate a lot of what they did. I think I can never really get past where I think lyrically, I just think they've been better. And I haven't heard any, I don't think I've heard any Blink-182 record after this.
Again.
I heard Edging.
I had no idea why, when they brought in the dude from Alkaline Trio, I was just like, why do start a new band? You already have 50 other side projects, but for some reason you're like, no, we're keeping Blink going.
There's
and
no money in that, yeah. Rob. There's no money in those side projects.
How is there no money in two dudes from Blink and the front man from Alkaline Trio?
Because, Rob, who's going to pay a show to see Mark and Travis play no Blink 182 songs?
And the people that paid the most money don't even know that's Matt Skiba. They're like, man, the Yed guy sounds kind of congested today.
Yeah, Yed guy.
I love that word. Can we start a project called Yed?
I think we just did.
Yeah.
You heard it here first, folks.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Get ready for Yed.
Oh Lord. Yeah, well, I like this. This has been a whole lot of fun, Alex.
Enjoyed this very much.
Yeah, man. Just seeing your face it makes me happy.
It was my day.
It was really great. Hard to disagree with you on certain like song choices,
yeah.
Because I'm like, I don't want to argue with Alex.
I got to give it to you on most of them. I'd say you guys are probably a little more right than me. That record just shaped my little heart.
We're better at critiquing music. You're better at making music.
That's the thing. Right. That's the dealio. And that is so.
I do not agree with that.
I was going to give you a chance to talk about.
I was fishing
about
for that. Yeah.
Upcoming new things, but I'm concerned. What are your like deep in the future, Alex?
Where do you see yourself 5 years from now?
Yeah, I don't see too much, honestly. I mean, I thought this record was pretty good and maybe a little more would happen with it, but not disappointed or anything, you know, just the most has happened with this than any other thing I've done. So I got my vinyl. That's all I wanted.
Right. It's beautiful.
And I hope I can
get really
maybe one more. I'm writing a new one now. So that's really the only plan.
Okay, fantastic. And people can still order the vinyl? Is it?
Oh, yeah. You can go to refreshrex.com and search Birthday Dad on there or find it on the homepage. And there's pink and clear. Still some copies left.
I have the pink, and it's great.
It's Robbie a good one.
You know, Robbie got my hopes up because I saw that he bought two of them. And I was like, oh, what a mensch. He got me one because he just knows it. And he's
not
like,
for
no,
you.
I wanted a pink one and a clear one.
I'm like, that's that's a collector
you,
right there. Real
good
collector.
For you, pal. Yeah.
Oh, my God. Alex, thank you so much, man, for being on. Thank you for being our first guest. This was
Yeah,
so much fun.
I was so honored to be Know Your Rights first guest. Thank you, Colton. Thank you, Rob.
Absolutely.
And the honorary third.
Yeah. And for the listeners there, we have no idea what the next episode is going to be about. This is basically the end of season one.
Oh, yeah. Well, I think I lost a bet with
you
Rob.
You did
where
lose a bet.
The Warriors
yes.
and the Lakers were in the playoffs, Alex.
Did
NBA
you see
here
Alex?
We go.
It was
yeah.
a,
and
I just hear white noise at this point.
That's
the
all right.
Lakers
well, sit
won.
Tight. Just
if
sit
the
tight
Warriors had won, we'd be doing an episode on Kid Rock.
He wanted.
Whole discography.
He
and I
wanted
was ready to go
Kid
in.
Rock.
I had the whole thing. I had. Like early morning stone pimp, black and gray, all the way to I'm a devil without a cause and cocky. It gets shaky. It gets a little white supremacy.
It's a dude. It's a dude.
One could argue maybe it was there. The whole
it's
time.
A guy from it's a guy from Michigan who plays shows with a freaking Confederate flag on. It's just like how crazy is that?
Which
12 year old
Colton
South.
Was found dubious, but also I was like. Yes,
I just yeah.
Could roll with rock, or you can radio edit. Anywho, I know
so,
a lot of Kid Rock.
So
but we're not
fortunately,
doing Kid Rock.
Yeah. No, fortunately, think, that doesn't have to happen.
Are we doing minus the bear?
It's minus the bear, only because I know Colton hates them.
There's a story
personally,
attached to this. I know. I have to be very careful how I talk about this. But basically,
I have no strong opinions either way.
They're not. They weren't nice to me. How is not nice to Colton.
And yet he likes me.
Little plucky Colton doing his best. Not nice.
But. So yeah, everybody, listen to like the first two Minus a Bear albums. That's about as far as I'm gonna go. We're cutting it back. We're not doing the full discography. We're gonna do just those first two.
First two minus the bear. Thank you for that, Rob.
Yeah. And but Alex, I couldn't be happier, man. Like, I'm so glad. I can't remember the last time we talked this long.
And we're very proud of you guys.
We got to do this more often.
You know, this might turn Know Your Rights might be featuring fucking Alex now.
Doesn't even have to be on the pod. We can just
I only communicate you.
Alex,
it's really it's the only way we can get Colton here is if
it's very true. Yeah. Like Colton doesn't exist unless there's some sort of
I have what we call I kind of ghosted. I think I've disappeared.
Well, actually, Alex, you're about to turn into Colton. You're about to be married too. So I'm never going to talk to you guys ever again outside of this type of platform.
That's right.
But I am very happy for you guys. You guys, it's like
and love and partnership.
I'm staring at Tom DeLonge and Mark Hoppus right now. Just two hopeless romantics.
One last question. You've said Tom DeLonge and you've said Tom DeLonge. What is it, guys? I think I've said it wrong this whole
time. I still can't remember how to say Alex's last name.
That's true. Yeah, you're not very good at either of them, I think. It's DeLonge, but I mean, he did a little joke in the Urethra Chronicles where he said he went to France and they said, no, it is DeLonge.
DeLonge.
I like it. It reminds me of Deluge. And thank you. And that's it, everybody. Thank you for joining
us. Yes. Have a good
one. That's our
show. All right. Know Your Rights.
podcast@gmail.com.
There we go.
And also we have an Instagram.
Thank you, Dollar Shave Club. Thank you, Audible.
Dollar Shave at Audible. Hit up.
That's right. Manscaping. We appreciate
me undies.
I have a feeling that the episode has ended by now. I hope you guys enjoyed Colton and I talking with our good friend Birthday Dad, or as I like to call him, Alex Pereira. But as I got his name incorrect, I also got the albums that we will be discussing from Minus the Bear incorrect. We'll be doing Menus El Oso, and we'll be doing Planet of Ice. So for anybody who likes to follow along and interact, those are the two to listen to. Not the first and second, the third and fourth.